Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday, again, and this is Elder Care Radio. We are Richard and Kaylee with Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and we, you know, enjoy bringing stories and experiences to hopefully expand people's understanding about the healthcare system, about taking care of your own bodies and enjoying your life as much as possible.
We hope to help you live the highest quality of life possible. We'll help you to find resources and directions to navigate this very difficult healthcare system.
And because we work in hospice and palliative care and we have conversations with people all the time, a lot of those conversations start to bring out some interesting points that maybe people aren't necessarily aware of, and things that maybe will broaden everybody's understanding about what hospice and palliative care can be. And I happened to have a conversation just this last week with a wonderful lady. And
as we go through this today, if any questions pop into your mind, please feel free to give our office a call. Our telephone number is 435-477-6999. Again, that number is 435-477-6999. And as always, feel free to look us up on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com. Again, that's pathwayhospicecare.com, where you can find out more about us and find about more that a little bit more about this very expansive palliative program that might help you live your highest and best quality of life.
And that was one of the things that intrigued this lady who called our office and then said, well, I just want to come down and talk to you. So she did. And the conversation was really good. Now she walks in and we start talking about it. And she's just surprised at the types of cares that we mention are available to people who qualify under the palliative care program.
And her comment really was that this is the first time that she had heard of some of the offerings that actually would benefit and improve her ability to navigate the day-to-day difficulties of life with her activities of daily living. And it was so intriguing to her that she reached out to our office.
Yeah, so we talked about palliative care and how broad it can be. I mean, it's extremely broad when we really consider that palliative care is anything that helps anybody live a better quality of life, whether that's relieving a symptom or improving a circumstance. And so when we use that broad of a definition, the one thing that, you know, really triggered her mind was that, you know, we talk about being able to bring in housekeepers to help with, you know, the daily problems that mount up. She's got some back problems and some other issues that have made it difficult for her to vacuum her home. You know, that was the thing. And so she's just overwhelmed with this problem, and it seems like a really simple burden for those of us who are healthy.
The other part of that was she was very concerned with the difficulty and challenges she's had to do the deep cleaning, you know, her baseboards and her ceiling fans and plant shelves. For her, this was just so daunting that she hasn't liked to have anybody come to her house. And all of our palliative cares or concerns are different, and the program is very dynamic, but for her that was particularly stressful.
And she happened to have one of our brochures and says, you know, I've been looking at all of these things that are in here and I don't even know what a lot of them are, but they certainly sound interesting, right? And so we talked a little bit about that, but then the conversation kind of went to her side. You know, now just to give you kind of a perspective, when she came in, she seemed like an example of age-appropriate perfect health.
Maybe even healthier than expected.
Right. I mean, you know, she lives alone, but she has plenty of friends, social activities. She drives herself everywhere. She dressed stylishly and was quick with wit and you know, had a great memory. All of those things that we look at and say, oh, well, yeah, you're in perfect health. And it wasn't until after we started discussing things and she explained some of the problems that she has and the crippling debilities that she is working to overcome. She has severe problems with balance, and so that really limits the things that she does. She has to be very careful about taking steps because she can throw herself off. She has given up the wish that she's going to be able to play golf again because she realizes just swinging that club, she may go off balance and fall and have no control over that. Her doctors have recommended that she give up, you know, that she get rid of all of her pets because they become risks and obligations.
It's interesting because when she showed up in our office, she did look just absolutely fabulous and well put together. But she explained that it had taken her a little better than 2 weeks to actually feel good enough to get in her car, get dressed, get in her car, and show up at our office. And that was not noticeable at first sight, right?
Right.
So she had very difficulties on many days, and she had good days and bad days, but sometimes she'd get started with her chores in the beginning of the morning, and by early afternoon, she was just exhausted and had to return home.
Right, or she would spend all day in bed, you know, just couldn't get up because of this exhaustion. And so these are all, you know, attributable to some of the problems that she has that aren't outwardly visible.
Right. Underlying conditions.
Yeah, and then there are other conditions that we would have no symptoms of, but that could be very life-limiting. And one of those might be uncontrolled blood pressure, right? It spikes and it goes down. And that's something that we don't notice. They say blood pressure is the silent killer because you don't notice anything. But she had already had one stroke because of it. And so those are the types of things that really we're talking about when qualifying for the benefits of palliative care in hospice.
Right. She's had multiple TIAs, which are trans ischemic attacks. Mm-hmm. And once you start having those, you're statistically higher probability of having more. So there's always that concern for her. And she tries hard not to push herself too hard because she knows that she could have one and it could really be the difference between life and death for her. But on the outside, you'd never see those really difficult challenges she was struggling with on the inside.
Right, because she has done really well at presenting a very healthy, persona. And in nature, you know, they say that birds never show that they're sick.
They just fall out of a tree.
They just pass away because that's risky, right?
Yeah.
To show any type of injury or sickness because then they become a target. And
right.
So our bodies tend to try and appear as healthy as possible for as long as possible. So those are the things, you know, we're not suggesting that anybody in the community could determine whether or not somebody qualifies for hospice. That is outside of the realm because I'm not saying that this lady would or wouldn't qualify for hospice. We haven't actually gone that far with her. It was just the questions that she had are interesting. We're going to cover that, but also her conditions and how they're not outwardly evident.
Well, and she mentioned the experience she had with her husband and why she thought that Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care was so intriguing. Mm-hmm. The experience she had with her husband was that the doctor hadn't recommended him to hospice until the very, very end. And what did she say, Richard? He ended up being on service only
about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, she said, you know, hospice did great for what they did. There
sure.
wasn't any question. But because she was saying, well, I probably don't qualify. That was really her position. Well, I don't qualify because I'm still driving. And again, that could be the case because driving isn't a qualification. And it's not a thing that keeps you out of qualifying, but if you can't drive, that's certainly an indication of something. When you're no longer feeling that that's a possibility, or you're no longer feeling like you can really take care of all the things that have to be done, you know, cooking meals that are healthy and taking care of the house, those are all indications that maybe there's reason to have other help come in.
At least to investigate when you would be eligible, if not currently eligible. But I think for many people, it's surprising that they are actually eligible today. So I had this one, we had three experiences last year that popped up as we were preparing for this show today. In three different circumstances, they had filled out a medical release, which is HIPAA's law it doesn't sign you up for anything, but it allows us to look at your medical history. And when we looked at the medical history, we saw that there was multiple organ failures happening. So systems that should work together with dynamic synergy. And when it doesn't, then you're at a higher probability of failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So three different families had come to us and asked if they were eligible. In these specific three cases, it did indicate that they were eligible according to Medicare's hospice program. But when going back and discussing with their doctors all in all three instances said, no, you're not eligible. And sadly, in all three of these cases, the families ended up losing their loved ones within 2.5 months. So in different, each three had the different, one of them was like 2 weeks after, but the longest was 2.5 months later, and they passed away at home with no help and no cares. And how sad that is, that they missed that benefit. And that's kind of what this lady said, like how disappointing it was that somebody didn't tell her for her husband that he was eligible sooner, because while she loved the nurses and she loved the experience, it wasn't a fulfilling experience so that she was able to focus on being the best caregiver and the best wife and just enjoying his life longer. And not being prepared for his death made it very, very difficult for her to overcome. And she's still dealing with that. But she was very, very surprised that the doctors had all put that off for so long, and then she only had about 4 weeks, and the only thing that was offered her was pain management at the very, very end. And so that's what I think was very, very intriguing about our expanded palliative program, is that it isn't just pain management. While we do everything that Medicare requires, there's so, so much more to complement the benefits of the program when there is an expanded palliative program. And we happen to be the only one in Southern Utah right now offering it, although we are trying to get our friends to also offer those same benefits.
So when she kept saying, well, I probably don't qualify, I simply asked her, okay, so your husband passed away. And he was on hospice. He had hospice for about 4 weeks. Tell me what he was doing 6 months prior to his passing. And she said, oh, well, he was still working. And she goes down the list of all the activities that he was doing. Now, he had physical limitations that qualified him for hospice, but nobody saw those. And the doctors didn't recommend hospice. And so they didn't take that until his health had deteriorated to a point where he was unable to do anything for himself. And again, we're not saying that 6 months is that, you know, ideal spot, although 4 weeks we know isn't, right? So we just want to have that conversation with people and get them to understand. Because what's the worst thing that could happen if you tried to see if you qualified for hospice and they said, no, you don't, because you're too healthy?
And we aren't trying to convince people. We just want everyone in the community to be informed.
Right. So, you know, we'll have those discussions with anyone's, because right now, those of you who are listening to this conversation and have these experiences, a little bit of knowledge, may end up being the local expert when it comes to hospice in any conversation, whether that's for, you know, your family. When the conversation comes up, you are probably going to know more than almost everybody else. And in fact, maybe more than some doctors. We've had that experience. So what our goal is we want the benefits of hospice and palliative care to be the worst kept secret in Southern Utah. Okay?
Absolutely.
All those benefits that are available, we don't want that to be a secret. We want everybody to know. And so we hope that you'll share these, you know, your knowledge and information with people that you know that may need to have that. Because we may not, I know that everybody listens to talk radio on Wednesday mornings.
Oh, absolutely. But, Andy's show? You bet.
That's right. But for the two or three people that still haven't heard this show, you may be the one that knows them and can have that conversation. So understand that, and you've had this experience before, I'm sure, when it just turns out that in a conversation, you have enough knowledge and experience to contribute real valuable information to help somebody make a better decision. And so that's the reason we have these conversations.
We've talked about what qualifies, and we've talked about that here on Elder Care Radio in the past. But if you have any questions about that, give our office a call.
Yeah, so our telephone number, easiest number in Southern Utah, 435, local area code, and then it's just 477 on the left and 6999 on the right. So let's get into this conversation that I had and some of the questions that she asked about, because this is kind of where the conversation really became important for us. She said, should I ask my doctor if I qualify?
The answer is always yes, you can.
But, and this is a big but, the answer that you get from your doctor may not be the same answer you'd get from a different doctor. And we have to consider the doctor's position, understanding, and everything else. So for us, we know that many doctors don't know the quality of care and the extent of care that we can provide. And they may not realize the things that can be beneficial and available for patients in need.
And you may not realize that your primary care physician is always invited to follow your care through the hospice program.
And we want to work with your doctor.
And I don't think the doctors all realize that either.
Right. I think a lot of doctors have had hospice experiences where if they turn somebody over to hospice, then they lose all contact with a patient for a couple of different reasons. One is that the hospice company just says, well, we don't want the complication of having to communicate with a doctor, so we just want to take that over. And two, there's a myth that doctors can't get paid once they turn their patient over to hospice.
That's a big myth.
It's a big myth, but it is a financial, you know, incentive. So that may be the case.
Or possibly they are associated with a different hospice company, and their program is specifically just end-of-life pain management. So they only refer at the very end.
Right.
Again, a financial.
Right. They may have some financial involvement with another one, whether that's a partial ownership or getting some type of a compensation for their contribution to hospice. And so... that may be their incentive. But if their perception of hospice is, well, yes, it's only the last few weeks, then we probably need to change that perspective. And the only way we get to do that is when we can show doctors what can be. And so, again, we enjoy being able to contact people's doctors and talk to them about the care that we provide. So, yes, we want your doctors involved, but it is their option. So that may be some of the reasons that they don't get involved. Others... and again, it's this financial part of it. When people are unhealthy, that is the time that they set up the most appointments with their doctor to see them, which is kind of the way doctors get paid. And doctors, the institution of medical insurance really has managed to the point of absolute control what doctors can get paid from visits. And it's not a lot. It's enough to keep them in business. But when you look at all the costs that they have, they have to pay for their staff. They have to pay for their rent. If they are part of a clinic, there's costs that go towards that.
Well, and insurances.
Yeah, and insurance and software and all these systems that are in place that have kind of built themselves into the cost of a doctor's office. So they've got to cover all of that. So oftentimes doctors are looking for alternative revenue sources. And some of those alternative revenue sources, while I don't say that it's wrong, if you don't understand them, they may not be the best for you.
Well, and this specifically is why so many doctors have between, 1,800 and 2,200 patients?
Right.
And it makes it much more difficult to have a very personal involvement in your care. So they may not have even considered the difficulties and challenges that you're having at your home because they are only specifically addressing the symptoms and managing those symptoms that you present in their room. In their office at the time.
So the answer to the question that you ask your doctor, if I qualify for hospice and palliative care, that answer is probably not going to be as closely tied to your health condition as it is to many other concerns and considerations that doctors have. Mechanics, if you take your car to a mechanic, you pay them for their hourly wage to put in, the parts that they need, but that's not their only revenue source. They also upcharge on the cost of their parts. So there are other revenue sources that mechanics have. There's, your investment advisor, obviously, they're going to steer you to things that make them money. You probably know somebody who is trying to offer you the cure to everything in the world and a place in their downline. There's all kinds of revenue sources out there. So I don't object to anybody trying to do that.
One of the myths of hospice that we need to overcome is that the doctor is the only one that can refer you. And actually, Medicare says that the beneficiary, you yourself, have an absolute right to find out if you're eligible. So you could actually call our office. We can look at your medical history. We can determine your eligibility. And then you can take that information back to your doctor, or we can do it for you. And we are always happy to reach out to your doctor and say, hey, based on this information, guess what? They're eligible. And the doctors often, we have found this over the last 5 years, we have found that often doctors are surprised that the patients are actually eligible sooner.
Right. And if we get that opportunity to talk about, you know, your health condition, and you go back to your doctor and you ask the question just slightly different, instead of saying, you know, do I qualify for hospice? And you said, well, these are the conditions that I know I have. And this is where I'm at in my life. And these are the problems that I'm having. And under those circumstances, with that information, doctor, can I qualify for hospice and palliative care? The doctor may have a different answer. And so it's important that we actively engage and participate in our healthcare, even in just the simple communications with our doctor. More information is always going to be better.
And we always invite you to ask them to call our office, because we love the opportunity to meet the physicians and to introduce them to this expanded palliative program, which really offers so much more.
So one of the things that I think a lot of people don't know that they should, so that they can be better prepared and along this line, is that, you know, some of the revenue sources the doctors have, one of them is that they get compensated for many of the medications that they prescribe. There's a direct compensation, and there's a lot of information that is not published on this, so we're not going to try and speculate too much. We're just going to point out the things that we do know. Many medications have a straight 6% revenue going back to the doctor if they prescribe it. Now, that may or may not be enough of an incentive for a doctor to say, hey, I think I'm going to have you try this new drug instead of this old drug, because the old drug doesn't pay a commission. You should know whether or not that new drug is really better. There have been examples, and this was over a decade ago. I think it was before 2014 that 60 Minutes did an expose on a particular drug, and that. So it was called Zaltrap, and it was a new cancer drug, and they were charging $11,000 a month for that drug. Now, there was already an existing drug on the market that costs a little less than half of that, still $5,000 a month, which is an outrageous sum of money for people to have to pay in order to save their lives. But this new drug came out, it was $11,000, and a number of doctors said, well, there's really no benefit. You know, there's no added benefit to this one, so we're not going to do it. In fact, there was a hospital that did an in-depth study, and they published their study and said, we aren't going to offer Zaltrap. We're going to do the other. Well, Sanofi, which is the company that owned that product, contacted that hospital directly. And this all came out in this news program. They said that Sanofi said, look, we will sell you this drug at a significantly lower rate. We'll sell it to you at the same rate that other drug is, but we want you to charge Medicare and all your patients the $11,000. Now, that just meant that the hospital got a bigger return.
A little overage.
Yeah, a little overage. A little vigorous in there. to encourage people to end up spending significantly more for this drug. Now, when we're talking about a $7,000 a month added revenue, that's a big thing, and would be easy for a hospital to say, yes, we can do that. It doesn't hurt us at all, except that other drug didn't do better.
I think we all understand the economics of business. We're just trying to advise you to advocate for yourself. Ask why this med for you specifically, and what alternatives are available. Why did your physician choose this one for your symptom management? Then you can get more specific, benefit from the drugs that you're prescribed.
And there's a lot of information out there. You can find information, do your own research, and determine whether or not that doctor's really making the decision that's best for you or best for them. So those are the things that we hope that we can help this community understand, is that your medical care is within your grasp. You have the ability to have a huge impact on your health. And so we encourage you to do all that you can to make sure that you're the healthiest and happiest you possibly can be.
Be your own best medical advocate and give our office a call. 435-477-6999. Have a great week, everyone.